small group of people. We really don't know much about them. We do know, however, that they live somewhere in the Far East. And that somehow or another, maybe through the sciences that they had, the astronomy they studied, the stars, you know, all these things that they were very interested in, somehow or another, they came to the conclusion that there was something special about this star that appeared. It was a very different kind of star, a very different kind of light. And somehow or another, they associated that with the birth of a king, a very important person. And so they made up their minds they were going to follow that star to see what they could find. They were not sure. They were launching on a journey that they had no idea where it was going to take them. But somehow or another, they had enough faith in the science that they had studied that they were willing to take that risk. So obviously, they were people who had been educated. Apparently, they were people who had some wealth. And apparently, they were people who had heard something of the chosen people. And I imagine the people who lived in that area of the world at the time, they had to be somehow acquainted with them. The stories about the chosen people and how their God seemed to look out for them and take care of them, watch over them. The stories about the Exodus through the desert for 40 years and all these kinds of things. They probably heard something about that. And there was probably a little curiosity about that too. And so, not knowing everything that the chosen people knew, were privileged to know, they had to trust on their own abilities, their own sciences, their own studies, their own reading, whatever that may have been for them. And it, I imagine it had to be pretty difficult. We don't know how long it took. And then when they came to the place where they finally thought they could get some further information, the king Herod called together the chief priests and the scribes of the people. Now, these were supposed to be the ones who protected the word of God that was handed on to them, who were really responsible for carrying out and living the tradition that had been taught to them. And they had the ability to learn about all of these prophecies about this coming Messiah that had been made to them. But seemingly they weren't that interested. It's just like, well, if you look at the scriptures, it says Bethlehem may be the place because here it is recognized for something special is going to happen there. And so they didn't go to Bethlehem. They didn't take the Magi to Bethlehem. They just told them, well, that may be a possibility. People who are coming from a far off land who had never really had the opportunity to read the prophet Isaiah or any of the other prophets, who didn't know all about the commands that God had given to Moses and how the chosen people were supposed to learn to live. They didn't know any of this stuff. But they were the ones who were willing to take a risk and their reputation to follow that star and see if they could find this child. And they did. And they came in and they found the child with Mary, his mother. And it said they fell to their knees and adored him. Somehow or another, the faith that moved them from wherever their homeland was, through all their journeying, the difficulties, and probably the skepticism, sometimes the doubts that had to arise, somehow or another, they found the child, and to their minds there was no further question. They had found a king, and they fell to their knees and adored him, and presented him with these very rich kingly gifts. So we hear that story and we kind of say, well, what does that have to do with us? We're not even sure who these people were. We're not sure exactly where they came from. We're not sure how many there are. People say traditionally they carry three because of the three gifts that are mentioned, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So knowing that little about them, somehow they came, faith that they had in their astronomy, that the star that led them, and they found the King, the Savior of the world. You know, and it makes me think, I imagine the reason St. Matthew put this story in here is, number one, he wanted to let the Jews, chosen people, know that they weren't, Jesus Christ didn't come just for them, that he came for all people. So these Gentiles, these Magi, whom nobody knew or knew about them, he came for them also. And they found out through the revelation of a star. Here we have all of this tradition, all of the sacred writings, all of these other things that God has given to us. And we still want to kind of separate. We still want to divide worthy, who is not worthy, who should be part of this, who should not be part of this. St. Paul, in the letter to the Ephesians, he felt that that was God's revelation, particularly to him, that he was to announce to the world that Jesus Christ came as Savior, not just for the chosen people, but for all people. And as many times as we've heard that, we still kind of like, sometimes we're kind of like the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests, kind of indifferent to the whole thing. And this was a big deal. This was really a big deal, that God, who created everything, chose to become one of us and became like us in every way except sin. He lived among us, grew up among us, taught us a way of life. We crucified him, killed him, but then he rose again and said, I can even beat that because I came to save you, all of you. And we sometimes, again, forget the all. We get angry with people, with nationalities. We get angry with whatever it may be, different cultures, different languages. And so what we do when we become angry and upset with it, we separate. And Christ said, no, that's not the reason I came. Your job is to bring all people to that light, which is Christ. That's our job, to all people. Whether we like the things they do or not, whether we like the language they speak or not, whether we like the country they came from or not, doesn't make any difference. We are supposed to be open and welcome to all of them. Christ came as the light of the world. Isaiah talks about Jerusalem being the light, that the light would radiate from that city so that all people of the world would know where to go, and that light is Christ. And that same light of Christ that Isaiah spoke of as coming from Jerusalem came from Christ himself and is in us. It's in us. So I think the gospel is written for us to remind us of the mission that we have, how extremely, extremely important it is that we are to be the light of the world. Now, it sounds like we brag a lot when we say stuff like that, but that's not it at all. It's not the light that comes from me, it's the light that is radiated through me from Christ. And that's what's supposed to be for us. We are supposed to reflect the light of Christ, radiate the light of Christ to our world. And in that way, the world may come to know that there is a Savior for all people, that there is a way of life to attain that salvation if all people learn to know about it. But how many people in this world ever heard of Christ? There's a lot of people in this world who never heard of Christ. We know that it's a common thing. And maybe in our country it is, maybe in other countries of the world it is, but in some countries of the world, Jesus Christ is not known at all. So when people say, when they say they get turned off by the church, by the members of the church, you say, why? And unfortunately, sometimes they find not the light of Christ that's radiated from us, but they find a kind of darkness and rejection and exclusion. It's kind of like maybe we think that we're an upper class and that other people are below that, which we know is not true. It cannot be true. Christ said we are all supposed to be together as one. That's his ideal, that the whole world would be united to make sure that the whole world is cared for, that the whole world for them, that it that there is food and shelter and protection and dignity for everybody. We are supposed to reflect that because we are the light of Christ in this world today. So this Feast of Epiphany, when we talk about this manifestation of these mysterious people who somehow found Christ by following the light of an unusual star, that they were willing to persevere through all of the struggles, through all the ridicule. I'm sure people said, you got to be out of your bloody mind. I'm sure they thought that about them. And sometimes they probably said, maybe we are. But there is still something within them that prompted them to keep searching. There was a faith, like a beginning of faith in them that they cherished, were not willing to let go of. Our job is to help the world know that by the way we live, by the light that we reflect of Christ, by the way we include and embrace and really look for and work toward that unity of all peoples. Christ came as Savior not just for us. We can't claim him for ourselves. But through us, he came to gather the world. He chose 12 apostles. And from that, he multiplied into many disciples. But he was the one who passed on to them the authority, the power, the model, the example, and all of those other things. And he said, now you go into the world. You be light to this world. You be the manifestation of that star to all people. And that means all people.